Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. 7 Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by the Armchair Media Network. You can take the Heisman QB out of Norman, but Mike Gundy will still lose by 20-plus in Bedlam. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. the happiest Big Ten fan in all the land, hashtag conference pride. And with me, as always, is AJ. We beat Rutgers! Marchese.
Yeah, the Rutgers win would have been better for the Big Ten, and that's all I care about, Rob.
You cheer for a conference like a real person.
Exactly.
Today, we'll break down our 2021 NFL Draft superlatives from this past Saturday in college football. Let's hit it!
Seven rounds in heaven with my baby, driving up to Cleveland, maybe looking for a Lawrence or Sewell. Don't draft specialists on the first day, don't draft specialists on the second day, maybe draft a punter in the sixth. We'll see. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
The wait is finally over. Football is in full effect, with many teams strutting their stuff. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get on anything and everything imaginable this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than any place online. Head to BetOnline today and use promo code ARMCHAIR to take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. BetOnline, your online sports book experts. You know what else you can bet on, maybe, if it happens? The Senior Bowl. That's what's up, AJ.
So sick.
You getting ready to set your... You're going to set the spread for this year's?
Yeah. Early projections has a South minus 3.5.
That's big. And is that because Ian Book will probably be playing for the North?
It's exactly for that reason, Rob.
All right. Just like last time, I will read through the list of offensive acceptances. We'll talk about it. Then defensive acceptances. Get ready for a lot of words. Okay, so this past week in Senior Bowl news, thanks to King Jim Nagy, the Senior Bowl has received acceptances from Notre Dame quarterback Ian Book, Louisiana running back Elijah Mitchell, Oklahoma State receiver Tylan Wallace, Florida receiver Kadarius Toney, South Carolina receiver Shai Smith, UCLA wide receiver Demetric Felton, Houston wide receiver Marquez Stevenson, Western Michigan wide receiver Dwayne Eskridge, and Notre Dame tackles Liam Eikenberg and Robert Hainsey. Who gets you the most jazzed up of that group, AJ?
Kadarius Toney. I think for sure. I think
the receiver.
Go ahead.
The receiver group in general is really, really exciting this year. I will say that it's a really fun looking group.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Dwayne Eskridge is kind of fun, like where he was our out-of-nowhere guy last week. And then, hey, he's in Mobile, baby. But no, I think Tony's the most exciting. And even Tylan Wallace, his stock's kind of up and down, and it's been a mucky year in Stillwater. But he could definitely go to Mobile and help himself a lot.
And I think Felton's pretty interesting that they list him as a receiver. Obviously, he's a guy who played both running back and receiver. Mm-hmm. We've had one of those guys kind of every year, the last three under the Nagster. And the other two were both from Memphis, and the other two both listed at running back. Felton comes in as a receiver, and I guess the NFL's probably viewing him in the slot then.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I mean, I was going to mention him later in the show, but 34 carries for Fenton this week, too.
Like, he's going to be a really fun one. Him and Tony, kind of similar-ish skill sets in terms of they can line up all over the place. They're really good yak guys. They could be running backs in some scenarios, receivers in others. Mm-hmm.
No, for sure. I'm seeing Tony as the Debo week in Mobile. I'm calling it now, baby.
Okay, I like that. I like that. I'm also excited to see Liam Eikenberg there. Obviously, he's a guy who's done almost as much for himself as anybody this year.
Mm-hmm.
Potential, I think, first-round tackle after this season he's had. Sealing himself as a top 100 prospect, at least.
For sure.
And getting to see him against some of the best senior pass rushers, I think, will be huge for kind of solidifying himself maybe as a top 50 guy.
No, very good point, for sure.
Okay, let's jump to the defensive side. Starting with Notre Dame defensive lineman Daylon Hayes and Adekunpo Ogundeji. UCLA defensive lineman Osa Odigizuwa. AJ, this is not easy for me.
Jim's testing.
Buffalo. Yeah. Buffalo edge rusher Malcolm Kuntz, Baylor edge rusher William Bradley King, and Oklahoma State corner Rodarius Williams. Who are you most excited from that group?
I'm going to say Malcolm Kuntz. I think seeing him in that setting is going to be really awesome. A guy we both liked in the summer. He's been good this year for Buffalo. Still lots of big games. But seeing him against the likes of Liam Eikenberg, that was a little mouthful for me, it's going to be really interesting to see Malcolm Kuntz. And we know he's got some wiggle. He can move. I think that's going to be really interesting matchups for Malcolm Kuntz there.
I think I'm probably most excited for Rodarius Williams, another guy who's done so much for himself mm-hmm. this year. And even in Bedlam, as the Sooners were putting up points, he actually had a pretty solid game himself. Obviously, Greedy's older brother, really long physical press man corner, been asked to play on an island all year. So I'm pretty excited to see him against this receiver group. It's nice when you get it's a interesting mix of corners right now, and I think he's kind of the most impressive who's accepted thus far.
Yeah, and I can totally see the way he plays. It's just like, I think it's going to lend himself to being a dog in practice and, you know, just having awesome reps against guys.
What, are you calling him the Rock Hussein right now?
Yeah, I'll call him the Rock. I'll call him the Rock.
Okay, let's get into it. College football week 12, NFL draft superlatives. Let's start with AJ's favorite part of the day, best freshman. AJ, who's number one on your list?
Speaking of rocks, you know what lives under them? Rattlesnakes. And Spencer Rattler's my best freshman this week, Rob.
Hall of Fame transition.
Was this the best game for Rattler? Under the circumstances, at least?
I think when you, like, with the context of it's Bedlam, it's the game for Sooners fans generally. I think so. And, like, he was much better in this game than he was in the Texas game.
Yeah, for sure.
I think, yeah. This was kind of like his, okay, yeah, this guy's going to be a Heisman contender in a year.
Yeah, maybe he had flashier games this year, especially early on, but you know, protecting the ball way better and just doing the little things way better and didn't have any of those ugly interceptions or, you know, the couple whiffs he's made at points in the season. And again, he's a redshirt freshman, so it's a steep learning curve in college football. And, there is still things he needs to work on, and you still see the pocket presence kind of deteriorate at times. But big boy game from Spencer Rattler, and they kicked the shit out of Oklahoma State, so.
And I'll add in, his teammate Marvin Mims wasn't his most spectacular game, but he made one hell of a spectacular catch over Rodarius Williams. Just 65 yards for him, but he does look like the next OU first-round type of wide receiver, doesn't he?
Definitely. I was going to say the same thing. Like that one catch just looks so awesome. And it's been like this all season for Marvin Mims. Even when he's not having the biggest game, it's like one or two catches, like you just see it. And it's kind of funny with it's not too often you see a guy make a couple catches a game or whatever, and unanimously everyone's just like, okay, this guy's a star.
And it's funny because a lot of, again, this is one of obviously Rattler's just a redshirt freshman. Mims is just a true freshman. But, like, there are other big playmakers. Like, Theo Weiss is only a sophomore. Mm-hmm. Their new stud tight end who didn't actually play in Bedlam, I can't remember his name, he's also just a sophomore. Stodner? Like, this... Yes. This team's going to be really, really good next year. Not for that sure. They're not this year. But, and like, even their H-back, Mikey Henderson, who kind of came out of nowhere a little bit last night. Like, he's only a freshman. And I just think... In a Lincoln Riley, Oklahoma down year, in quotation marks, they look like they're going to go and win the Big 12 again. Like, it looks like it's going to be them against Iowa State for the Big 12.
Yes, and potential playoff team again next year.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they look like they're going to be playing, win the Big 12 and be playing in probably the Fiesta Bowl. Like, that's, Rattler's really, again, you mentioned it. Maybe it wasn't his flashiest game, but it was his best game from a pure quarterbacking perspective. Mm-hmm. Like, he was so efficient and didn't really put the ball in danger against a really, really good Cowboys defense.
Yeah, exactly, for sure.
Okay, I'm going to give you another wide receiver here. Jermaine Burton, the Georgia freshman, five-star guy who's had flashes, kind of more of a gadget bit role player early in the season. Well, it turns out all he needed was a competent quarterback, and he exploded with JT Daniels at the helm. 8 catches, 197 yards, 2 touchdowns against a bad Mississippi State defense, but he, like, his athleticism and his ability to track were really showcased in this one.
Are you going to mention JT Daniels later?
Yes.
Okay. I'm gonna stick at quarterback and go to the G5 with our boy Grayson McCall, who
good
maybe not the flashiest numbers, only 200 yards, 2 touchdowns passing, but then again, Grayson McCall, again, not the most explosive athlete, but he's always getting yards and touchdowns on the ground. That touchdown throw to Likely down the middle of the field, just the drop and the dime, was awesome. He's been awesome since he stepped on the field. I remember after our first game, after his first game of the season, I had him for best freshman, and it just feels like every week he's composed as hell, and he's one of the best group of five quarterbacks already.
Glad you could pat yourself on the back a little bit there. But yeah, I mean, over 20 touchdowns as a out of nowhere. He wasn't expected to win the starting quarterback job.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
And he's run that, like, Jamie Chadwell's system is obviously that kind of that spread option, putting a lot of defenders in conflict, and he is running it to perfection. I don't know. I think they're so fun to watch. And that was a good App State defense.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It's not a scrub defense in the G5. This is a big game, and it was a lot of high-pressure situations, too.
Okay, who's your best sophomore?
Michael Penix Jr. I know they lost the game, but it was so impressive. It was like, what did he go? 27-51, almost 500 yards, 5 touchdowns, threw a pick. And there was a lot of bad Indiana drops mixed in there. But just the big-time throws, and like just being unfazed by, like, he took a beating and just kept bouncing back up and making huge throws and making big throws while getting hit. Penix Jr. is, I know he's a redshirt sophomore, but really, really impressive performance against obviously Ohio State.
Is he the second best quarterback in the Big Ten?
Yeah, probably.
Right? I mean, like, who's even third, AJ? Talia?
Hey, how about Plummer? Plummer looked like the third best right now. For Purdue.
I've got Plummer here. I put Penix somewhere else, so I put Plummer here, actually. I put him and David Bell. Plummer obviously threw for over 360, 3 scores on a Friday night against Minnesota. They got absolutely fucking robbed of a win. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows it. On that touchdown to the tight end that should have won the game, it was a perfect touch throw, too. Yep. There was no pass interference. I don't know. Big Ten refs are fucked. And then he also with David Bell. David Bell, it's anytime you watch a Purdue game, David Bell makes just at least one absolutely insane play.
Very much. He until like Rondale Moore's back, obviously. Until now, he was just dragging that Purdue offense.
And he was robbed of what should have been, I think, at least a catch when he stole the interception.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And then, like you said, the one-handed touchdown over the defender was amazing. And every single week, David Bell is fucking sick.
He's an absolute freak of nature.
Sticking in the Big Ten and a wide receiver, I put Garrett Wilson here again because, I mean, it's every week he's making big-time plays. I know he had, like, what, one really stinky drop, but, like, other than that, just taking the top off the the Indiana defense from the start of the game. Him and David Bell look like they're going to be really high picks if they choose to come out next year.
Yeah, I think Wilson's already, like, Chris Olave, I absolutely love Chris Olave, but I think Wilson's clearly shown he has an even higher ceiling than Olave does.
Yeah.
I do think if there was, like, a Sophomore of the Year award, which there should be, I think there should be a national award for, like, Freshman of the Year, Sophomore of the Year, not just conferences. But I do think he would firmly be a finalist, at least at this point. Like, he has been incredible through four games.
For sure. And just to throw out one more, how about the Cincinnati tight end, Josh Wiley, who's 6'6", 235. Pretty thin, though. I don't even know if he's that thick. But making a lot of plays for that Cincinnati offense. Some cool catches. Had that wonky one on the two-point, I believe, was him. But no, you can get out there and move. And with that length, someone to keep an eye on.
And I'll give you one more. Northwestern edge rusher, EQ Liotta.
Yeah.
He was incredible against that Wisconsin offensive line. He only had one sack, but there was a handful of pressures. He's been their best pass rusher all year. Their secondary and their linebackers get a lot of credit, but he looked awesome. He's a redshirt sophomore, not the biggest guy in the world, but showed off some impressive quickness.
For sure.
Actually, one more. Zonovan Knight, I just want to mention. 130 total yards and two scores. He's NC State's most interesting player.
Definitely. We've talked about him here before. Big-time guy to watch next year.
Okay, who's your number one weekday warrior?
I tried to keep it to one guy, and I'm going to give it to Rondale Moore for coming back, baby, and making, 15 catches for 116 yards. The offense went – I know, like David Bell was amazing, but, like, whenever they just kind of needed the yardage, they went to Rondale and had a touchdown on a rush. Looked just as good as he did, whenever the hell he last played football. So, I think it was just a big night for him coming back and proving that he's still a dude and making guys miss every time he touched the football, like he does. I don't think he was missing a step at all.
It's been, like, over a year since he's played. In his first game back, he has 18 touches. The Purdue offense, like you said, it kind of felt like it ran through him with crazy David Bell plays sprinkled in.
Yeah.
His skill set is perfect for today's NFL as a kind of a more of a chess piece than even just a true slot receiver. Can line up in the backfield. His contact balance is unbelievable for a wide receiver. I'm excited to see where he lands. I have a hard time imagining he ends up in the first round just given his size, the injury, and this wide receiver class in general being loaded once again. But he seems to me like maybe in the Deebo Samuel way, he ends up in the second round and is, if he ends up with the right play caller, he's an instant impact electric player.
I very much agree. And it's like, I think he could be a first round pick in a lot of drafts. It's just, like you said, his circumstances and just the depth of this group.
I'll give you a defensive weekday warrior. How about a guy we've talked about early in the season, and he's really blown up. Linebacker for Tulsa, Zaven Collins.
Mm-hmm.
All over the field against Tulane, and then to really justify being my weekday warrior, game-winning 96-yard pick six in double overtime. Tulane was at, like, the five-ish of Tulsa. Receiver on a crosser, open, and Zaven Collins just climbed the ladder, pick, and gone. He is so fast for a 260-pound linebacker. And like I said, all over the field throughout the night as a run defender. He's going to go top 100, and I think he might be, like, the winner of the combine.
That's a good point. You know who he reminds me of, but a better athlete? A young who? KJ Wright.
I really like that.
I was trying to think of a better athletic comp, but every time I watch Collins, he kind of feels like KJ to me, and very similar size, longer guy, yeah, too, like Wright is. And KJ Wright, just a guy that's always in the right place. And then Xavien Collins is that in a big way for that Tulsa defense.
KJ Wright also plays more athletic than he tested.
That's a good point, too. Yeah, very much so. There's always a couple of those crazy PBUs he makes, and he's got some nice picks in his career, and Collins is just that plus a bit.
Yeah, I love it. But no, it's so fun to see a guy like him just absolutely kind of come out of nowhere at the beginning of the season and climb. Okay. Not the greatest week in the world for a best prospect, in my opinion.
I totally agree.
Obviously, Justin Fields struggled. The Clemson game got canceled last second. I don't think there was any this dude has to be it like we've had in past weeks. So I'm quite interested to see who you've got.
You know what? I totally agree. And even for shooting up the board, all my guys are kind of lower key guys this week. So bear with me. I think a couple of them could have been out of nowhere, guys. but my best prospect, though, I think I've had him here maybe three times this year, or in the mix at least, Devonta Smith for Bama. Because it's every week he's just going out there and fucking balling. And I know we've talked about, I don't know if he's a top a first-round pick in this class and blah, blah, blah. But then with Waddle going down, obviously, a couple weeks ago, he's going to start rising again, and I think he definitely is. He's slighter and smaller, but hey, you've likened him to Stephon Diggs multiple times, and I think that is the correct comp. And Diggs is out there in Buffalo looking very worth the pick, the trade, and he's leading the NFL in receiving, or top two, whatever the hell. And I think a team is not going to be worried about this, and Smith is going to go high. I'm not going to say top 10 or anything, but I think he's going to go top 20.
Yeah, it's interesting because we talked about him as maybe the receiver who slides to the late first round or early second round.
Yeah.
But is it immediately the best as a rookie? But since Jalen Waddle went out, I think he's really earned his credit now. He was unstoppable against Kentucky. He's unstoppable every week. His route running is magnificent. His ball skills are incredible. Yeah. He is, I think, better after the catch than people realized. And obviously in this game, he broke both Amari Cooper's school record for touchdown catches and the SEC record. I think he's at 33 now. He's going to – I think you're – he's going to go top 20. He's got to.
Yeah.
The only receivers who I think would go ahead of him are Ja'Marr Chase and Jalen Waddle. And both of them, Chase has not played in a year, and Waddle's coming off the injury. So even then, who knows? Who knows? Devonta Smith, he's Stephon Diggs, and Stephon Diggs is a top five wide receiver in the NFL.
Exactly. And not to comp them skill-wise, but I think it's going to be a very Justin Jefferson-type thing for Devonta Smith. Not the slot stuff that we've talked about before, but maybe the guy that gets slept on a bit and then has a monster season, and then you're maybe you don't love the pure skill set of him. You know what I'm trying to say? It's not a height, weight, speed freak, even though Jefferson ran really well, and I think Smith's gonna be fast, but it's just watch the guy. He's a fucking baller, and I think he's gonna go into the NFL and maybe outperform all of his fellow great classmates for this receiver position. It's early, but still.
Get him to Miami, get him with Tua, and let them cook.
And he would be huge for Tua because a lot of Devontae Parker's playing really well, but a lot of the contested catches that Tua is making the big-time throws on, they're getting dropped, and Smith doesn't drop those passes.
He's not the height, weight, speed guy, but he just knows how to play wide receiver. And there's kind of not to say it was the same thing as Stephon Diggs, because Stephon Diggs fell all the way to the fifth round, which is still kind of mind-boggling given everything he did at Maryland.
Yeah.
But just he's such a smart route runner. He's so laterally explosive and smooth through his routes. His ball skills are just, I think, the best in the country.
Agreed.
He looks like he's going to win the Biletnikoff, right? Maybe he won't because, Elijah Moore's putting up insane numbers. But, in terms of the most impactful to a winning team, I think it's got to be him.
Yeah, no, that's right. You know, just a little off topic, but I respect that the Blitnikoff is often, like, it's not one of the awards that has to go to a top guy. We've seen a lot of smaller school guys win that award, and that just kind of popped in my head, and I'm going to say I respect the Blitnikoff even more than I always have.
That's, like, the worst thing about the Thorpe is they just give it to the DB everybody knows the name of.
Yeah, no, exactly. The Blitnikoff is the best award in college football. I'll say it now.
I'm looking. Devonta Smith's fifth in the country in receiving yards, and I think second in touchdowns.
And again, and the number's going to keep climbing for him.
Everybody above him is either G5 or Elijah Moore.
It's, yeah, I think you're right. It's going to be between Smith and Moore.
I think it's going to be interesting to see who they put as the third finalist, though. Marlon Williams, friend of the show Jay Adams, or Dax Milne.
Oh, that's an interesting trio. I like, that's fun.
Heck yeah. Okay, anyway. Let's jump into shooting up the board. You mentioned it wasn't like, again, I think it was a really fun week of college football, but again, not like the most high profile guys making plays, yeah. But more like some day three guys really getting in the mix, or quiet risers. So I'm again interested to hear who you've got on your shooting up the board.
Maybe not the top guy, but my favorite guy. So I'm going to put him first. How about Ramondre Stevenson, the Oklahoma running back, who's a big old mauler, baby. He's listed at 6'2", 246, but on the broadcast they said he's down to 236. So good for you, Stevenson. And hey, you can see a bit more of that juice to him. And he had what 141 yards on the ground, and then added another 50 through the air. So I mean, he's just a damn force for that OU offense. And just, I mean, like we said, Rattler was great and Mims was making his plays, but he was kind of just the force for that offense and just put that game away. And he had some nice big chunk runs. It looked pretty fast, and obviously that size, the broadcast was calling him smaller Derrick Henry, and it's like, okay, guys. But
yeah, that was bad.
I think it was an off game for Kirk, to be honest. It was a lot of just weird tangents. Anyways, speaking of weird tangents, Stevenson kind of out of nowhere a little bit, at least, but that was a monster performance, and I there's a lot of big packs in college football right now, and I love it.
He has, since he's come back off the suspension, he's really helped his offense because they've got a competent running back. And a guy who can provide some inside punch to the fast-paced passing attack they run with. And I don't know. I just love, again, I'm with you. I absolutely love really big running backs who just feel like they would have been elite 30 years ago. and seeing what he can do as a pass catcher, too, I think was really impressive. Yes. And do you have any comp for him? I've been trying to think of it, but.
God. I don't have one. I don't want to force one either. I don't want to force one.
Let it come naturally.
Yeah, exactly. He deserves more respect than a forced, just big back comp.
Exactly. I'll go with his teammate who was also recently off suspension, Ronnie Perkins. These two have been a huge reason why Oklahoma looks like they're going to win the Big 12 after a rough start to the season. Perkins was all over the place on that defensive line. He brings so much energy and athleticism to that defensive line. Like, this is the last couple of weeks, the Oklahoma defense has been playing pretty good football with a lot of attitude. And he kind of injects some of that. He had 3 TFLs, 2 sacks. A guy who's got, he's undersized, but he's got that get off and that bend. And I know we're both kind of lower on him over the summer, but he looks like he's taking his game to the next level. And I don't know whether he'll declare just because he hasn't really been able to play a full season because of the suspension, but he looks like an NFL pass rusher.
Hey, like you said, we were both lower on him this summer, and that's why I put him for a prospect. He made me look stupid. And like you said, an absolute beast. And before in the pregame, they were kind of hyping him up, and I'm like, like, I know he's good for Oklahoma, but he's coming off the suspension, and like he was a man this summer. So I didn't have to say this on the show, but I'm telling on myself. And then he went out and just absolutely mauled that Oklahoma State team. So yeah, definitely shooting up the board and made me look dumb. You're right though. I don't know if he'll come out, but if there's any year to come out with not much tape, it's this year, I guess.
That's actually a good point. But it's also kind of a looking like a really deep edge rusher class too, though, right? Yeah. Like, even though, again, there's no clear cut, this is the guy at the top, but there's just a lot of guys who you could see going between 10 and like 60.
Yeah, no, exactly. And I think, as we mentioned before, it's a lot of choose your flavor type of edge guys, which is going to make a fun class.
Yeah, 100%. Okay. Wait, maybe it's your turn.
Go ahead. I don't care.
Oh, thank you. Because I've been waiting 3 years for this moment.
Oh, I know who
Paddy Fisher is shooting up the board.
Me too. I got him.
Okay. The Northwestern defense is legit. It might not be built with NFL level athletes, but it is so technically sound. And it, like, I don't know. Paddy Fisher's instincts just always catch my eye.
Mm-hmm.
He's 6'4". He's like 240, and his ability to read keys and then react and make a play, like his one TFL where he shot a gap before the guard could get there, the pulling guard could get there.
Yeah.
I thought that was awesome. He also had the pass breakup that led to the interception. He looked good blitzing too. Him and teammate Blake Gallagher, I thought, were all over the field, and I can't wait to see Northwestern against Ohio State in the Big Ten Championship to just kind of see how Fisher and Gallagher like stack up against an offense full of NFL guys.
Paddy Fisher and Master T going to be meeting in the hole, baby, and Indianapolis will be rumbling from that. Definitely, like, he looked like that sophomore. Well, that's what it was, right? That just caught our eye and it kept flashing on tape. And so I almost put him for out of nowhere just for, like, coming back from out of nowhere. But, the big-time game. And he looked like the guy that caught our eye all those many moons ago.
Let me mention, he was a redshirt freshman when he caught our eye. He's a redshirt senior. So it's been a wild ride with Paddy.
It's like, I think the first episode of this show ever, we were talking about Paddy Fisher. It's weird. I'm going to stick at the linebacker position and in the Big Ten. How about your boy there, Baron Browning, who I thought helped himself for sure, especially in the first half, was really impressive. I guess, like, I think the Ohio State linebacker core in general was pretty solid, but I think Browning was the best of the bunch. I think, did he still got credited for that forced fumble, right? Even though he didn't really
do anything. I think so.
Anyways, I'm going to give him credit for it. He used the ref to trick the receiver into fumbling, so it was sick. But no, I think this was definitely his most impressive game this season, maybe in general. But again, it's a really good linebacker class, but I think there's a lot of these middling guys that are yet to really emerge, and I think we're going to see a lot of them. And I think there's going to be fans who, like, I think a lot of people are going to be big fans of a lot of just random guys in the middle of this group, and for good reason.
Yeah, well, you mentioned, like, the obviously Penix kind of torched the Buckeyes secondary, but Browning and Pete Werner looked really good throughout that game. Browning, obviously, he's a former five-star who's just never really found that starting role. They've used him in different ways over the years, and he's actually a really good pass rusher, elite athlete, and now he's kind of come into his own as the starting Sam. And he's a guy who I think could go top 100. I'm hoping both him and Werner end up at the Senior Bowl.
Yeah, I think they should be. There's not too many linebackers there right now, is there, off the top of my head? Off your massive list that you just read every week?
I don't know. Last week there was a lot of them, so
I can't even remember. I don't even know. It's not going to happen, but I hope they're there.
I'm going to stick in the state of Ohio and go with Desmond Ridder.
Yeah, I didn't put Ridder down, but I it definitely crossed my mind. I think he just keeps helping himself.
Yeah, over 300 passing, 2 passing touchdowns, over 50 rushing, 2 rushing touchdowns against a UCF defense that led the country in takeaways. And he didn't turn the ball over. He just looks like he's really in a rhythm now. I think they said over the last 5 games, he's had at least 2 passing and 2 rushing touchdowns or something. which tied Derek King's AAC record.
Yep.
And again, he's a redshirt junior. I don't think he should come out just because it's a pretty stacked QB class at the top, but he's really building momentum for 2022, which I think he's got a chance to be the best senior quarterback if he goes back to Cincinnati.
Yeah, for sure. I think maybe it comes down to if there's a coaching change in Cincinnati and if that new coach, it might be Marcus Freeman, but like depending on, like, you know what I mean? Just all that surrounding that there's a chance there because they're so great. Maybe that's where his decision comes, because I think, like I said it last week, he's going to go top 120 and he's still helping himself. And even with there's a lot of quarterbacks in this group, I still think he's going to go that high, because the more I watch, the more I see Colin Kaepernick.
Yeah, I since you said that comp, I really like it. Just between the arm talent, the natural athleticism, and also the kind of wiry frame.
Mm-hmm. And I think Cap always had like an interesting motion. I think Ritter's a little cleaner, but like very whippy arms. It's hard to describe.
Yes.
And plus not Power Five quarterbacks who are on great teams. So,
Who else do you have for riser?
I put Chris Altman Bell, who was pretty great for Minnesota on Friday night. I kind of wanted to bring up, like, where's the consensus on Ahmed Bell right now, you think? Like, is it just, like, people expect him to be back in Minneapolis?
I don't know, because I was going to ask you this basically the same question about Ty Freifogel. Freifogel leads the Big Ten in receiving yards.
Yeah. Yeah, and he's, I mean, massive performance. I put him out of nowhere, even though I know he's not. I just kind of stuck him there. Freifogel, that is. Massive performances this week, obviously 218 and 3 touchdowns, and then the Michigan game, he kicked the shit out of Michigan, but that's not saying much. But you know, it's still those teams, and like there's like a drop here and there, and like I don't know, this performance was big time, and he's just so well built and physical, and like he out physicaled Sean Wade on that long one with the DPI, and like he's making a lot of big time contested catches. I don't think he would come out, that is, but yeah, there's just a lot of receivers.
Isn't Freifogel a senior?
Oh shit, he is. Isn't he?
Yeah.
I can't remember.
So,
okay.
Yeah. My bad. Yeah, he is.
Hey, but he does have to come out.
That's okay. Oh yeah. Look at you. You're so smart.
Save my ass.
that's gonna be, I keep forgetting that that's like kinda the thing that could throw a wrench in everything. Every senior can return to school.
Yeah, again, I think we've mentioned it before. It's just like, it's not on my mind until declaration time.
Well, now I kind of hope Freifogel and WAP return to Indiana.
It'd be cool.
For Penix's junior year, so they can just be legendary.
I mean, again, it's who knows what the hell's going on, but that'd be fun for college football and for the Big Ten.
But you're right, though. Between like a guy like Freifogel, a guy like Altman Bell, there's so many wide receivers making plays this year, just kind of out of nowhere. Or not, I guess not out of nowhere, but just kind of taking that step forward and really getting on the NFL draft radar.
Yeah.
It's last year's class was wicked. The year before was also wicked. Mm-hmm. And this one looks wicked, too. Wide receivers just coming out of nowhere. Do you have anybody else for riser? You want to jump to sliders?
I'll throw one more.
Yeah, sliding down the board.
I'll throw one more because just for this, from the Senior Bowl invite, I thought Fenton looked pretty good against Oregon. And I know I mentioned earlier, but I thought it was so interesting that he had 34 carries in this game, which like we said, he's listed a wide receiver. They've used him pretty split in the past, and then this game they just ran him heavy and it looked good. And like we already mentioned, he's just gonna be a really fun evaluation.
Well, in the past, he's been kind of more of a scat back.
Yeah.
A complimentary runner who's more, like you said, more involved as a pass catcher. And do you think Chip Kelly just kind of realized so far this year that this guy's my best player on offense? I just need to get him touches. Because over the last two games, he has had 59 carries.
Which, just off the top of my head, I'm sure it's the most he's had in a two-game span in his career easily.
Last year, he had 86 in total.
There you go. So, and DTR was out. So, I mean, with a freshman Griffin in, they kind of just leaned on him.
He's also a good return man. He's gonna be a real, I think, one of those guys who goes like, again, this class is wicked, but maybe he does end up going top 100. But in my mind right now, he's more of a day three guy who can find a role pretty early as a gadgety guy and also be a return man, and you gotta love that.
You know what? I just off topic a little bit, but there's so many of these fun utility type players in college football. Some are already in the NFL, and there's a lot in this class. I hope it's starting, but I hope the creativity catches up to how cool these players could be used, because there's still a lot of boring ass play callers in the NFL and play designers. But I hope one day that like every team's got a guy like this and they're using them properly.
AJ, Mike McCarthy's a Dallas Cowboys head coach. He has one of these guys named Tony Pollard. The NFL will never learn, AJ. That is my point.
I'm hopeful. Hey, no, what are you talking about? Mike McCarthy studied everything he could in the year off.
He knows analytics.
Analytical guru, like you said, and then tricked Jerry Jones.
Okay. Sliding down the board, my number one, a guy who I think I vaguely mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Dylan Moses just doesn't look like the same player at all.
Yeah, that's a good one. And I mean, I don't know. He's not a first-round pick anymore.
He, against Kentucky, he didn't even make a tackle, first of all. He kind of looked a step slow. He was getting beat on underneath routes. He doesn't look like the guy we saw when he was a sophomore.
Mm-hmm.
And he is very much slid, like you said. Like I don't think he's a first round pick anymore, especially in a linebacker class where we're finding guys like Zaven Collins.
Yeah.
And there's just a lot of interesting athletes, Baron Browning, for example. Is he going that Mac Wilson route? Remember when Mac Wilson was supposed to be a first round pick and he fell to the fifth round? I know it's not the exact same situation at all, but like Moses seems like a guy who's just sliding down so much. Maybe he ends up back at Alabama. Who knows?
It's a good point, and maybe that's the right choice for him. And maybe it was the wrong choice last year. Not to criticize anyone for that choice, but I'm just saying. Speaking of a guy that hasn't looked as good as he used to, I know I've had him here a couple times, but Chuba Hubbard just keeps on sliding away. And at this point, he's obviously not going top 100. And like he got banged up in this one. He had what 44 yards, 29 came on one carry. Yep. And that wasn't an impressive run at all. It was a nice hole. It's just, I don't know. There was the doubts in the summer for us, and it was kind of just like nice holes, and he's running. And I don't think he looks as explosive as he did in the years past. And I don't know. It sucks again. We brought this up because we're both Canadian, obviously, and I want to cheer for Chuba Hubbard, but he's been not good, Rob.
Please don't talk about my nationality on this show ever again.
Okay, I'm so sorry, Rob. I'm so sorry.
But no, I completely agree. 44 yards, you said, 29 on one carry. It's like he's been battling the injury, but he also just doesn't have great vision. He doesn't break that many tackles. He's hits one home run a game generally, and that really boosts the numbers. I think he's a guy who should probably return for his senior year because, yeah, he's not going top 100. And I was thinking about this last night. Like, I don't know if he's going in the first five rounds unless he absolutely destroys the combine. But, like, there are much more, maybe not as athletically interesting running backs, but just better running backs. Like, a guy like Ramondre Stevenson, a guy like your boy Mo Ibrahim, like, those guys. Mm-hmm. Maybe they don't get the juices flowing in terms of they're not running like 4-5 or under, but they are true tackle breaking running backs that those never go out of style.
For sure. I will say though that the next year's running back group looks better than this year's, so that might be a concern for Hubbard. Where did Bryce Love go? Like the fourth round, way higher than he had any business going. Like it's. We still see these guys with the athletic profile go higher than they should at times. So it's going to be a gamble. It's been a rough year for Hubbard.
In sticking in Bedlam, it's been a rough year for Charleston Rambo.
Yeah. I was going to bring him up for sure. He's just kind of off the page here.
He was supposed to, with Lamb gone, be that next one. Like, it went from Hollywood to Lamb to now Rambo's turn. And he's been kind of outpaced by Marvin Mims, by Theo Weiss, by these young receivers. And he's kind of lost his role. And, like, you can watch a whole Oklahoma game and forget he exists. He had one catch in Bedlam for 18 yards. And he's a guy who looked like he would run, like, sub 4-4. And he looked like he had the ability to be an instant impact deep threat in the NFL and potentially top 100 pick. And he is, with his lack of production, like, he's a guy who's, I'm assuming, going back to Oklahoma. Definitely transferring true. Even.
Yeah, no, that's true. And I mean, like, obviously there was lots of fans of his in the summer. I think we both saw the big time potential, but that's what he was potential, and it just hasn't come to fruition.
Yeah. Who else you got?
Okay. Maybe this one's a little hot. Okay. I'm going to say Rashad Bateman, and it's not like he's been bad. Tanner Morgan's been bad, but he hasn't, I don't know, raised his game. And I know he had that awesome body control catch, but I don't know. We've hit this one over the head already on this episode. There's a fuck ton of wide receivers, and I think he's not elevating himself. So he's I think he's getting lost in the shuffle a little bit.
I think he's sliding down the board, not in terms of his play, but just, yeah, in terms of everything else. I think you're totally right here. He's not the type of guy who's going to blow away the combine.
Yep,
he's a really technically sound wide receiver. So really high floor, but not the same ceiling as some of these other guys. I would not be surprised if he slides down a bit just because that's how the NFL is. I mean, he reminds me a lot of Keenan Allen. And that's a guy who tested really poorly and slid and then became a Pro Bowl receiver for the Chargers. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Rashad Bateman go in the 40s or something. Yeah. Like, I'm not saying either of us think, like, he's wide receiver 7 now. Like, he'll probably still be a top 5 wide receiver for me. But I would not be shocked to see some of these more explosive wide receivers go above him.
Yeah, and like you just touched upon, he was always going to be the guy that was probably going to lose ground come combine and pro day time to some of these other more explosive guys. Like, he needed to put his work and his best work out there on the field this season, during the season. And yeah, it's just, again, it's not all on him at all, but it's just kind of circumstances.
Joining my sliding on the board list, I'm going to put a guy who made a huge play for Ohio State, but outside of that pick six, I didn't think Sean Wade was overly impressive once
agreed.
Again.
Agreed, yeah.
He just doesn't look like he has the athleticism to be an outside corner, which is shocking because he looked so impressive as a guy who was viewed as an outside corner playing nickel last season, and everyone kind of assumed he would shift the outside corner and be even better because he's such a physical guy. Maybe he's a safety. That's kind of been the hot talk on the streets of Twitter about Wade, because he's ultra aggressive and he's got, like, he's not a bad run defender at all. He's a very willing run defender. So I wonder if some teams will start to view him there.
That's an interesting point. And, like, I didn't want to put him here because I know you're a Ohio State fan and he had to pick six, but I definitely agree. And like I mentioned, it keeps concerning me that he's getting out physical at the catch point, and it's recurring. It's recurring with the Penn State receiver that I'm blanking on his name that had the awesome one had a catch, and then Freifogel this week and
Jahan Dotson.
Thank you. It just keeps popping up, and that safety thing is a little more interesting. And, like, that break and the pick six looked a little safety like, so I think that's an interesting point.
I'll throw out one more, and it's more so just confirming what I think most people already thought. Malik Willis didn't look very good against NC State, and what I mean by confirming what everybody thought, I think it just kind of confirms he's not going to come out early, and I don't think anyone really expected him to. Yeah. But he's been one of the most impressive out of nowhere quarterback prospects this year, and even on his touchdown, his first touchdown against NC State, like, you and me were salivating over that throw.
Yeah.
But one more year at Liberty with Hugh Freeze, and like you get this kind of the Senior Bowl bump and all that, and I think just seeing that it kind of confirms he'll be returning.
Yeah, he was my next one, and yeah, like you said, the flashes were there, but he clearly needs to go back. It was just a lot of poor decision making, a lot of inaccurate throws, but the potential is there. Those are my big ones. I kind of wanted to bring up Kyle Trask here because I think. I'm not calling him sliding in the board, but you know what I really felt from this game? I thought this game was just confirming your priors. If you didn't like Trask already, I think you'll say, you know, he wasn't good with Pitts out again. His TDs were wide open or great catches or easy, whatever. The usual things that you could say about Kyle Trask. And I agree with those things. You agree with those things. But I think if you like him, you're saying, you know, he completed 80%, whatever the hell, of his passes, 383 yards, 3 touchdowns, didn't turn the ball over. And I think he actually did look better moving, making plays outside the pocket, throwing the run. So it just felt like a very, if you liked him, you like him more. And if you dislike him, you still dislike him game.
Yeah, I put him for overhype just because, like, the numbers were great again. 380, 3 scores, 70%, whatever. Vanderbilt kind of played them a lot tougher than I think anyone was expecting.
For sure.
Again, though, it was like some impressive contested catches from his playmakers. There was a couple throws where his arm didn't look all that great. He had a dropped interception, and I'm a guy who's a little lower on Trask, so that's why I'm pitching it this way probably. If someone was higher on Trask, they would say, well, the ball placement on those contested catches was really impressive. Sure, he doesn't have the arm necessarily of some guys, but he's got enough. Like Joe Burrow had enough. I think a lot of the Trask's going to be polarizing, and you hit the nail on the head with it.
Yeah, no, exactly. And it's going to be fun for the wrong reasons and for the right reasons to keep talking about Kyle Trask down the line here.
Okay, who's your out-of-nowhere prospect?
I said mine earlier was Freifogel. I know he's not really the most out-of-nowhere, but just this
No, he is. Okay. Like, to this extent.
Okay, yeah, exactly. Just the big-time performance and... like I mentioned, he's had a couple of these this season, and he's going to be interesting.
I put an offensive and a defensive. First, JT Daniels. I don't know. Kirby Smart just doesn't know how to pick a starting quarterback, but I think luckily he must be hurt. JT Daniels.
Right?
I don't know. Kirby Smart's not giving me any reason to believe his QB takes that's, in the past.
You're right. That's a good point. So you're right. No more benefit of the doubt for Kirby. Daniels was just getting benched. You're right.
Daniels threw for 400 yards, 4 touchdowns, torched a bad Mississippi State defense, sure, but Stetson Bennett would not have been able to do that. The other thing is, like, Georgia's got playmakers at wide receiver. It's just their quarterbacks are not capable of getting the ball. JT Daniels is. Burton, I already talked about. George Pickens, who's got all the talent in the world, looked really good. Kyrus Jackson, their third receiver, looked quite good. Like, this, if this Georgia, like, Georgia also could not run the ball. Like, Zamir White had like 20 yards and was irrelevant. But if this Georgia team, maybe it's not this year, but next year when, like all those wide receivers are back and JT Daniels is a redshirt junior, like, this Georgia team next year might be the team that puts Kirby over the top.
Your Kirby love has come back around. I'm very proud of you, Rob.
And then my other one is Cincinnati linebacker Darian Beavers, who has caught my eye a couple times this year. He plays generally a Sam role. They are, Marcus Freeman does a really good job with the way they kind of deploy their defense. Like, they play a lot of three-man fronts and get Beavers out in space. He plays like overhang. They'll use him as a disruptive, like, almost like a hybrid edge type at times too. But 12 tackles, 1.5 sacks, 4 TFLs, all over the place. 6'3", 240.
Box.
Yeah. Yeah, he's just... Lots of these Cincinnati guys, like, they just recruit so well for a G5 program, like, with guys like Beavers, like Myjai Sanders. These guys look like SEC defensive players.
I know that's off topic, but if Luke Fickell ends up leaving, do you think they can keep this going? Like, do you think this is a UCF type of situation, or do you think it's like a couple-year wonder?
If they name Marcus Freeman head coach, I think you can keep the party rolling.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I hope.
But so. I do think it'd be interesting to see, like, if Luke Fickell takes a really high profile Power Five job. Like, would Marcus Freeman follow him there or stick at Cincy?
It's a good question. I mean, I tend to believe he'd stick if they give him the head coaching job, but it's a question.
Okay, prospect who made you look stupid. Who'd you say?
Ronnie Perkins.
Right. That's a good one. How about one that made us both look stupid? Jared Patterson ran for 301 yards and 4 touchdowns like a day after we both called him a slider.
literally like 24 hours later or something. Yeah, not great.
Yeah, no, he torched Bowling Green. Really nice bounce back game. Good for you, Jared. We didn't want to call him a slider. No. We love Buffalo.
Yeah, exactly. It hurt to say it, and I'm glad he fucking shut us up.
Okay, my best prospect matchup. I just put Michael Penix against the Ohio State defense in general.
Fair enough.
Like, there was the secondary looked bad outside of Sean Wade's pick six, but the linebackers played really well. You saw some flashes from Jonathan Cooper on the D-line. But Penix just kind of, with absolutely no run game, just overcame that. And Michael Penix did enough to win that football game.
Oh, most definitely. I'm really starting to kind of like have feelings for Michael Penix. Like, just, he's endearing himself to me deeply, to be honest.
Prospect who outplayed the box score for me was kind of a guy who you've heard the buzz. He's going to the Senior Bowl, but I haven't watched a Vanderbilt game until this week. Deo Odeningbo, I thought, looked really good against Florida. He had a big pressure that should have led to an interception. The DB dropped it. Just 4 tackles, 2 hurries. And I basically, anytime Florida was on offense, I was just watching him. And the Florida offensive line's game plan was basically just to double him all game. And he's a guy who, really high effort guy, but he's also like 6'6", 280. Yeah. Like, he is a big man. And just seeing his performance against Florida got me really excited to see what he brings to the Senior Bowl.
That's a good one. I don't have a good one. Mine's kind of lame. But I put Najee Harris in a game. He only had 83 yards and 2 touchdowns. It's just like all of his runs were pretty amazing. And he's just so much fun to watch run the ball, man. He runs so damn hard. And he had like that one where he's hurtling and then breaking through the hole. And it's kind of a lame pick, but I thought he just looked pretty awesome.
He did. No, that's not a lame pick. Don't worry. Prospect is being overhyped. I already mentioned I have Trask. Who do you have?
Okay. I'm kind of going against the grain here again. Marlon Williams, who I kind of just wanted to talk about, the UCF receiver. And he had 97 yards and 2 touchdowns in this game. One of them was wide open, one where he kind of dragged a guy in the end zone. It was fun. I like him. I get it. He's physical. He's fun. But I just don't know where I am yet on him with all his fans. And then he had that really, really brutal drop that led to the Cincy pick that kind of ended the game virtually for not directly, but a part of it. So he's been one of the best receivers in college football. But it's just, I think it's maybe a little too much love. But I kind of understand because he's physical as hell and he's fun.
Do you know who, you know how he's like obnoxiously thick?
Yeah.
For a wide receiver.
Yeah.
Do you know who he gives me vibes of?
Who?
I'll give you one hint. He played in the CFL.
Oh, what's his face? I forget his name. What's his name?
Nick Lewis. He reminds me, just his build. Nick Lewis was a 5'10", 240-pound slot receiver in the CFL. One of the best CFL wide receivers of all time. And that's just, seeing how thick Marlon Williams looks for a slot, it just gives me Nick Lewis vibes.
Okay, one more point on the thick pass catchers. I believe Tyree McCants could have been an amazing fullback in the NFL if he'd given the chance, because he was big and thick too, and he was a good football player for USF. And hey, we got the Battle of I-9 this week too.
I forgot about Tyree McCants.
I still love him. I don't know. He was good, man. And they were in so many awesome games, especially against UCF, and I always liked him.
I wonder what he's doing.
He's in the CFL. Hell yeah.
There you go. Nick Lewis 2.0, baby.
Okay, the small school guy caught my eye. We talked about him because he accepted his Senior Bowl invite this week. Dwayne Eskridge, 4 catches, 212 yards, 3 touchdowns against Central Michigan.
Yep.
This guy is belligerently fast. Might be end up the fastest guy at the combine even. Former DB who was hurt last year and has just exploded as one of the best playmakers, if not the best playmaker in the MAC.
Yeah, no, super fun for sure. You just destroy that CMU defense. I'll give you two more Coastal Carolina guys, and I've had him before. Isaiah Likely, I mentioned him already, the tight end, who's maybe a bit more of an H-back type at 6'4", 235, but he can run, man. He had 118 yards and only 3 catches and a long touchdown, and he's really interesting. And then on the defensive side of the ball, we've talked Gerard Clark before, and he's really interesting, but it's great duo on the IDL. His partner, CJ Brewer, was amazing in this game. 14 tackles at the IDL position, which is crazy. A sack and a half, 3 TFLs. He's a bit undersized. I think he's like 6'2", 280. But he's caught my eye before, and this is just a big-time game.
Yeah, Coastal. Part of me wants Jamie Chadwell to go to South Carolina, but part of me wants to keep that party going.
Until McCall graduates, at least.
I'd rather Billy Napier go to South Carolina.
That'd be fun. I like that.
And you know what else you like, AJ? You like Manscaped because support for 7 Rounds in Heaven comes from them. And Manscaped is the best men's below the belt grooming. And they offer precision engineered tools for your family jewels. Jingle balls to the walls, fellas. Listen up. Untrimmed pubes are a thing of the past. It's time to gear up and get yourself the gift of shaving this holiday season. I'm talking about the Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. This revolutionary company, Manscaped, has really redesigned the electric trimmer. Their Lawnmower 3.0 has proprietary advanced skin-safe technology, so this trimmer cuts on your nuts. It's also waterproof, so you can use it in the shower. The Lawnmower 3.0 comes inside their brand new Perfect Package 3.0, which makes for the perfect gift this holiday season. It's literally everything you need to keep trimmed, cut-free, and smelling nice down there. And don't use the same trimmer on your face as you're using on your balls. That's just nasty. The Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0 also includes the Crop Preserver, an anti-chafing ball deodorant and moisturizer. You already put deodorant on your armpits. Why are you not putting deodorant on the smelliest part of your body? And yes, your balls stink. Speaking of sweaty and stinky balls, I'm thankful for the Crop Reviver. This product, along with the Crop Preserver, keep your balls from sweating, smelling, and sticking. And these products smell good. Their manly scent is attractive and will help set the mood, if you know what I mean, fellas. The perfect package will also come with a pair of Manscaped boxers that'll keep your junk feeling fresh all day. It's time to upgrade those overused pairs of boxers to Manscaped's high-performance anti-chafing boxers. Tis the season to manscape, so get yourself, your dad, your brother, and friends the best gift of all. The Manscaped Perfect Package 3.0. Get 20% off and free shipping with the code armchair at manscaped.com. Your balls will thank you. And, of course, as always, BetOnline brings you this show as well. And thanks to BetOnline, we're betting online all holiday season as bowl season is upon us. NFL playoffs are around the corner. The NBA season's about a month away, even though it just ended. Crazy times. So many things to bet on. We cannot wait here at 7 Rounds in Heaven. And BetOnline presents my 5 picks of the week and AJ's one short of a 6-pack. How'd you do last week, AJ?
I went 2-5. Upset that Cincy didn't cover that spread for us, Rob.
Yeah, I went 1-3. Of course, I can't go a week without having a game canceled. Ole Miss and TAMU got canceled. So I'm like several picks behind. I'm going to bulk them all up for the end of the season and bet a ton of games.
You're going to pick all the bowls, baby.
Hell yeah. Okay, starting off, first of all, it's Thanksgiving. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. Which means we get a whole slate of Friday games, which is sick. And I'm going to start off with the first game on Friday at noon, ABC, number 17 Iowa State at number 22 Texas. And I'm taking the Cyclones plus 2.5.
Interesting. Okay, so I didn't touch this game, and a part of it, because I wasn't sure what the line was going to be. It's in Austin, right? Yes.
Yeah.
I think you could probably take more points, but I'll give
that. I didn't want to... I looked like such a fool on the show last week when I attacked you about the Ohio State Indiana spread, and then you were much closer to it. So I just wanted to be like, play it cool and hear your opinions.
I think I don't know, but again, that's why I didn't pick the game, because I'm not sure about the spread. I think you could bump it to 3.5.
Thank you, AJ, and I'm taking the Cyclones because Matt Campbell's a better coach than Tom Herman. Breece Hall is low key having the best season of any running back in college football, basically.
He doesn't get enough attention.
He's going to be one of the best backs next year for the draft. For sure. But, yeah, I think Iowa State's headed for Oklahoma for the Big 12 championship. Hit me with your first game.
I think we'll both have this one. 3:30 on the Friday, ABC.
Yeah.
Notre Dame at UNC. By the way, I'm swinging for the fences this week. My picks are bad anyways, even when I play it safe, so I'm taking stupid games and big lines and dumb stuff. But let's see if it works. I'm going to take UNC at home plus 6.5.
Okay, I'm taking UNC at home, but I put it at 10.5.
Okay, so I this was interesting to me. I try to go back and read the lines. UNC is usually a double point favorite against ACC teams, which makes sense. Notre Dame is usually a double point favorite as well. But I think Notre Dame was only like, what, 10.5 against in BC? So I think UNC is 4 points better than BC. So I kind of brought it down a bit. But it is going to be kind of interesting to see what this line is.
So do you want to meet in the middle, 8.5, or do you want to, again, I'm trusting you this week.
No, well,
or do you want to?
8.5 is good for me, so I'll come up.
Okay. But yeah, I think Notre Dame wins the game, but that North Carolina offense is so fun. Like, this is going to be a really good game. I'm excited. Chaz Surratt versus Kyren Williams should be a lot of fun, too.
Yeah, no, for sure. I mean, and then watching Joke against those UNC running backs, they're both rising. This is a perfect 3:30 Black Friday game.
Agreed. I'm taking another Friday game, 10:30, the Apple Cup. I bet you're taking it, too.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah. So it's hard to gauge what this – I mean, the Apple Cup's come out of nowhere on us. It's hard to gauge what this spread should be because we haven't seen either of these teams play all that much. Washington just kicked Arizona's ass last night. Washington State played it close with Oregon last week. I put it at pick'em because I'm a coward and couldn't figure it out. What did you put it at?
Oh, interesting. Okay, so I gave Wazoo points, but I might be wrong. You got a point here. I think like Arizona played USC tough. Washington was 11.5 point favorites up in Seattle, obviously. Wazoo was, I can't remember. I think they were double digits. No, a touchdown in a bit at Oregon. I gave Wazoo 5.5 points, but I'm not really sure. I can come down.
Want to make it 3.5?
Yeah, okay. No, that's cool. I think they're going to call it close.
Are you taking Wazoo?
Yeah.
I'm taking Wazoo.
I am. I mean, I know it never works for Wazoo in the Apple Cup, but I think they're going to be good enough to hang around. I don't love Washington at all this year.
No.
I think Wazoo's got a chance to win, especially on the Palouse.
If it comes down to a high-scoring game, like, give me Nick Rolovich's run and shoot with Jaden DeLora over, like, Dylan Morris and the Washington crew.
Yeah, and I mean, I like Jimmy Lake greatly, but first year, and it's not Mike Leach's scheme where he knows exactly what he's gonna do,
exactly,
and not a lot of talent on either side of the ball for Washington. I don't think it's a bad team, but it's young.
Okay, 3:30 CBS, the Iron Bowl, number 23 Auburn at number 1 Bama. Did you also take this?
I did. What do you get the line at?
I put Bama 12.5.
I put 10.5. So we're really close here. And I kind of feel like that's we'll call it 11.5. Weird line, but
okay.
I think that's where it's gonna be. It's still the Iron Bowl. I think Bama probably should be bigger favorites, and I'm picking Bama. But yeah. Auburn's ranked, and it's still the Iron Bowl. I think they're going to give them some respect. I don't think they're going to put this big, but if tomorrow I wake up and I see that the line is Bama minus 20, I'm not going to be shocked. But I don't think they will.
I know, right? Auburn's got more of an identity now than they did earlier in the season. They're obviously ranked again. But at the end of the day, like, Bo Nix still is Bo Nix, right? Like,
yeah, exactly.
I don't know. Yeah. My final game is not assigned to anything yet. It's the Big Ten Loser Bowl between Penn State and Michigan.
What do you got?
I'm taking your Wolverines. March on Wolves, 4.5 favorites.
I guess they're going to be favorited, right? Yeah, I think that's fair.
Penn State hasn't won a game.
Exactly. No, I think that's a good line. I think that's accurate. I would never pick this game with a 1,000-foot pole.
I took it because it's funny.
Hey, funny but good game here at noon on CBS Sports Network, which kind of sucks. I wish it was a matching game because all eyes should be on Kent State at UB. Two powerhouse teams. Kent State scored 60 points back-to-back weeks. UB's putting up 40 points every single game. This is a good football game. Clearly, this is the one I get most excited about. I'm really just picking it because I wanted to talk about this game. This is a lot of fun. I am taking my beloved UB minus 3 because it rhymes. I don't know. I almost put this as a pick'em, but I think neutral field is a pick'em, and whoever's at home is a 3-point favorite.
I really respect you for taking this.
Go Bulls. That's all I got to say. This is a good football game, though. I wish it was that, action, but. And
that was all your games, right?
No, I got one more. And this is the worst one of the bunch. I hate this one. 5 o'clock, no time yet. Oklahoma at West Virginia. I'm calling a trap game, Rob. I'm taking the Mountaineers at home plus 7.5. The line's a little tricky. I would have liked to bump it a little more, but I think I'm okay there. West Virginia's playing better than I think a lot of people are giving them credit for, but Vegas kind of respected them, which is interesting in the past spreads. Oklahoma's a powerhouse. I think Oklahoma wins, similar to the Notre Dame UNC game. I think Oklahoma wins, but they struggle a bit. We've seen Rattler get rattled. I think this is gonna be a little tricky. It's Morgantown. It's late November. It's a tough spot. I think Oklahoma wins, but they don't win by touchdown.
I think it's like a very good game, just considering how well West Virginia's defense has played, and like their offense isn't bad. Like Jared Daggy's not a bad quarterback.
It's not bad. No.
Your boy,
who? Sorry.
Your boy as head coach.
Yeah. Levi, I don't like watching this West Virginia team, but I think they're going to hang around with Oklahoma.